One man can change the world with a bullet in the right place.
Welcome back to the podcast. You're the New DP Podcast. Thank you for downloading this data bits of information. My name is Max Fallas. Give it up for me, goddammit. I am your host as we go down these wonderful hallways of the two-way community. And before you ask,
who the fuck is that guy?
Well, little Timmy, sit down and I'll tell you the tale of the Bagman, a lonely warrior in a world full of madness. Sir, how are you?
I'm very excited because we have another fun topic to discuss this evening.
Is that a gun in your pocket or you just happen to be here? Who knows? Stay tuned, yes. Ladies and gentlemen. The answer will come. So, if memory serves, this is episode 23, I think, of these wonderful conversations.
I'll take your word for it.
I'm going to say yes until somebody emails us at pnewtopew@blackbagresources.com to tell us how wrong we are. Until then.
It should be Armin if we get something wrong.
It will. It shall be Armin. Thank you for listening, Armin. Here's one for you, sir. That is authentic, live-recorded audience giving tribute to the listeners. So, the Bagman has some must-have guns for any gun owner. Did I say that properly, sir?
Sure. Guns, yeah. Like firearms everybody needs. Yeah.
Okay. I'll
retitle. So, I think you started off right. No, it's fine. We can call it whatever you want, but... Yeah, I think there's a couple classifications that everybody should cover when they first get into firearms. And I'm not a believer that one firearm fits all. So kind of like you need different screwdrivers, you need different bullet drivers.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll go with
punches.
That.
Hole punchers. You need hole different punches. Hole punches. Sometimes.
Remote you need a big controlled one. Hole punches.
Wireless hole punches.
Wireless.
Green energy. No power needed. It's all self contained.
High speed powder powered.
I need a hole punch, but it's 100 yards away. Say no more, fam. I got you.
I got the tool for that.
Okay.
I need a hole punch than that guy. I got a tool for that.
So I think it's safe to say that I feel everybody should have a rocket launcher because that's just how I roll. You know, I like the big boobs and the crazy, wacky.
But what kind? Do you want just a regular, like, RPG-7, or do we need, like, a tow wire-guided missile launcher? There's 47 different flavors there, too.
I think the one from Commando is on everybody's stocking stuffer list with the four ports.
The big four-pack?
Yes, I need the four-pack. Because, you know, in today's economy, you need the most bang for your buck, and that's the most economical decision you can make. As a rocket launcher owner and buyer.
I think that one's available at Costco because, you know, it's bulk quantity.
But you have to buy 50 on a pallet. That's what it is. You do it once, though, it makes $25.
And I see this is an absolute win.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. I may actually sign up for Costco this year just to get my pallet of rocket launchers.
Because BJ's, what kind of loot crate we act like they're selling over there. Yeah,
yeah,
it's not happening.
Doesn't have that model, so they only have the the classic,
the RPG-7.
Yeah, like the one that everybody right. knows. Yeah, they only have that. But I want the Commando Quad, Quad Mando, or Quad Mando, ladies and gentlemen. BJ's or Costco's. So take it away, sir. What do
so
we got?
In all seriousness, I know a lot of people start with a handgun. I think the handgun can actually wait. I'm much more rifle-oriented, and I think rifle skills, particularly when it comes to learning the basics and marksmanship, and through my own experience as an instructor, I think people take a rifle much more seriously from every aspect, even if it's, you know, not that powerful. So I've taught courses where I bring out a centerfire handgun, and students are not necessarily as cautious right away because the firearm is smaller, but then I'll hand them a 22 caliber rifle and they take that real serious. So my first category of firearm, I think, would be a center fire semi-automatic rifle. And if your state has stupid restrictions, then obviously you're going to have to comply with those restrictions. But I think an AR-15 is a great choice. Doesn't have to be an AR-15 if you like something else better. But I think a semi-automatic rifle with an intermediate cartridge is a great place to start. Ammo is usually affordable. They're fairly common, easy to learn to shoot, easy to learn to maintain. Readily available parts and accessories kind of makes life easy as far as that goes. And if you're so inclined, you can jump right into building your first AR with a little bit of guidance, like my co-host Max, and get something that you really like on your first go and not necessarily buy something quote-unquote off the rack. You know, like a Smith & Wesson M&P 15 or a Springfield Saint. You don't have to get into one of those prefabbed ARs. You can kind of pick and choose your parts and then have somebody guide you through the process of putting it together. It's not difficult, right? I mean, you did it.
Did I, though? I mean...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I brought the tools and the parts and sat down in front of you and went, okay, here's what you're going to do. And I did it, and I took it apart, and I handed it to you, and you did it.
Except for the lower stuff with the little tiny screws and the little, when you brought out your little hammer kit and your whatever the fuck you were nailing inside of it, like that.
I made you do all of that stuff too. You just don't remember.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I don't. But like, you know, okay. So I'm going to say this, and for a little disclosure, the roles are being reversed versus, you know, our real life versus the show. I'll say it like that. So, yeah, you could say
the it's student easy. Has become the teacher.
Exactly. Right. You could say it's easy because you know it. And from the person learning that side of the stuff, it's like you make it look easy because of the, as I said before, the competence and confidence go hand in hand. So, you'll see what I'm talking about when we start going out in the real world.
When I go on the road with you next week, and right. You're like, come on, dummy, this is easy.
And I start talking about center fire and ballistic ranges, and you have, you're like, yeah, sure, Max. What
just,
do I do
just
now?
Just put it into my language, and we'll be fine.
Yeah. We've already started doing that. But yeah, it's definitely something that I can't imagine somebody. Well, I guess, okay, you know, let me retract that because. We live in an information age. You could Google anything. You can watch any video. And while I had the pleasure and the privilege of having Obi-Wan Kenobi help me build my lightsaber in the caves on Tatooine.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Another sticker has been born, ladies and gentlemen, here on the New to Poo podcast. We will be getting these over to Stuck Knot Customs ASAP. You hear me? So,
Did you say New to Poo?
No, I think I just sipped too much whiskey too fast. And
there might be another sticker.
Don't derail. Yeah, so it's easy if you have somebody with you, but it will take a lot of work to if someone quiet guy just going on the internet getting piece by piece watching YouTube videos. But it is possible. It shouldn't be it's not as scary as it looks.
Yeah. No, it's not. And it's certainly not as overwhelming as it may seem either. There's a ton of good information out there. CMMG has videos that are up that, you know, I don't know if they still do, but they used to put a link to it right on the packaging for their lower parts kit. And you could just click that link and it brings you right into their how to assemble video that was done really well. But yeah, you know, a semi-auto centerfire rifle is going to handle a lot of various roles in your firearms collection. Mm-hmm. So that can certainly be for hunting, can certainly be for, you know, within states that allow it, because hunting's a whole nother set of rules. Self-defense and personal defense of your home. Mm-hmm. If you're the type who's concerned about greater spread threats and potentially having to protect yourself from that, it's an option for that too. I think my second one in that line would probably be a rimfire rifle. So every rifle class I've ever taught, I bring along a Ruger 10/22, which again is a little semi-auto 22 caliber magazine fed, great reliable rifle, works well with a bunch of different ammunition as long as it's 22 long rifle and a good back pressure to make sure that the action cycles. But yeah, Ruger 10/22 is hard to go wrong, especially the new takedown models, because those are easier to take apart and maintain, where the older traditional style, it was a V block that held the barrel in place, and it just made it difficult to get a cleaning rod in there. You had to disassemble that, and then maybe you were losing your zero and other things. The newer takedown models have a quick disconnect on the barrel to remove it from the receiver, and that just means it's a breeze to clean that barrel.
So that kind of...
Back in the old days.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so in some cases then, between the two, you lean more to the center fire, but as a, is it a cost-effective thing to go for the rim fire? Because since 22 long rifle ammo is, you know, the cheapest that at least I've seen so far. Pretty much, yeah. Are there other benefits to doing that versus the center fire?
Yeah, I mean, if you're just starting out and you're okay with, you know, just having a rimfire, and maybe your primary focus is just the marksmanship part. You want to go to the range and you want to learn how to use a firearm and just target shoot for a little while. There's no reason to go with the center fire first. If you have those other concerns where a caliber may matter, then you would go with the center fire. Hmm. You know, can you defend life and liberty with a 22? Absolutely. History supports that. And I know there's going to be somebody who's like, oh, 22 is a terrible choice for personal defense. Yeah, sure it is. Compared to other things, yeah. If that's what you've got, then dance with who you brung and make it work.
It's better than mace.
You
know,
yeah.
He's not starting from ground.
Better than a pointy stick. And again, it's a matter of, it gives you the opportunity to learn to do those things. The compromise between the two would be what you did, and you get the center fire firearm and then a rim fire conversion kit. Mm-hmm. So again, I'll reference DMMG because they have one of the best ones out there. Mm-hmm. Their conversion kits are just perfect as far as I'm concerned. Like, they work well, they're easily maintained, you know, reasonably priced. You kind of can't go wrong with that. So again, if your concern is dropping your ammo expense, you can do it that way. Mm-hmm. Personally, I like having a dedicated 22 just because there's applications where that's appropriate, right? You might not be able to shoot your 5.56 in an indoor range if it's not rated for that. Or, you know, if you go with an AK, you're certainly not going to be able to shoot a 7.62 by 39 in certain indoor ranges. Mm-hmm. So if they're pistol rated, usually they will allow a 22 from a rifle because it's not going to damage their backstop and their facility the way a full powered rifle round will. But you got to understand that if you're going to use that for anything else, the full powered rifle round is going to do a much better job of most things. If it's dispatching animals or predators, four-legged or two-legged, a rifle round is going to do the best job. So behind that, I would say shotgun. And again, this is based solely on my preference.
So your preference is putting the handgun at the end, I guess, of the main
three? I put the handgun, for me, the handgun is the absolute last. Yeah. It's of the lowest importance to me. You know, and it's, I find it interesting that so many people go the complete opposite way, that they want to do the handgun first. But so again, the shotgun, the big benefit there, if you're doing a pump action shotgun, most of them are very good. Obviously, there's some that are really cheaply manufactured now. Some of the guns we're seeing coming out of Turkey for like $100 to $200 can be really poor performing. Clunky and have component failures and all kinds of stuff that you would want to avoid. But your shotgun offers great versatility because you've got different loads for pretty much every job you can imagine. Mm-hmm. So there's everything from really small pellet birdshot up through larger buckshot, where you've got nine pellets coming out that are roughly 38 caliber, so just short of a 9mm. So terminal effect, one round out of a shotgun can be as effective as nine rounds of 9mm. And then you can get into slugs too. So you've got a couple of different kinds of slugs. And if you're hunting big game or just want one really big projectile, you have that option too with a shotgun. My first firearm purchase was a shotgun. I bought a Mossberg 500 in 12 gauge. And that was probably what I had for 2 or 3 years. And I found a way to make that fill every role I had. So I'm partial to the Mossberg family of firearms. I like the 500. I like the 590. I think they're both great. I'm not necessarily a big fan of the Maverick 88, which is like their budget line. Various reasons. We'll kind of keep it short for the purposes of this episode. Mm-hmm. But if you're a fan of the Remington 870, I'm not going to poo-poo that. You know, there's other quality pump action 12 gauge shotguns out there that are a good choice. If you're a person of smaller stature or recoil sensitive, 20 gauge is a great choice too. And again, not like it's smaller, but it's not that much smaller where you're really trading off a lot, but you can get into a smaller shotgun and it is a lighter recoiling round. Mm-hmm. So if you're recoil sensitive, that's going to be a lot easier to manage too. And again, very versatile because you can find those loads in every flavor imaginable. Hmm. So after you've got those three roles filled, then I would consider a handgun, because the skills you'll develop shooting those, and I think it's all applicable to handgun in various degrees, mm-hmm. right? Learning to shoot a rifle, you're going to learn to focus on your front sight, which is how you're supposed to shoot a handgun, focusing mm-hmm. on your front sight for best accuracy. Shooting a shotgun, you're going to learn to point shoot, and shotguns are handled a little bit different and shot a little bit different. And sometimes that translates into certain aspects of shooting a handgun if you're trying to do things very quickly, right? Mm-hmm. So handgun, I kind of don't give a shit about, right? If you're doing a semi-auto handgun, pick one that's affordable, reliable, and has an easily acquired caliber. Mm-hmm. 9mm fluctuates a lot, right? Anytime there's any kind of shenanigans, 9mm is one of the first calibers to disappear from shelves. So you may choose to go with something else. As far as like a preference in a handgun, I'm not religiously loyal to any particular brand or firearm or anything else. I have a Glock because I don't give a shit about handguns. It's the Honda Civic of firearms, and it does nothing particularly great. It does nothing terribly, and it's just kind of decent, right? Can you spend more and get a better gun? Sure. Can you spend less and get a worse gun? Sure. But as far as that goes, there's so many what I'll call mid-range price options at this point. Every manufacturer is making 15 or 20 in that, we'll say, 350 to 650 price point. Mm-hmm. That are all what I would consider capable.
Is mm-hmm. Revolver over non-revolver, or are they equal?
So a revolver versus a semi-auto is what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Just a matter of preference.
Revolver isn't considered semi-automatic?
It is technically semi-automatic, right, because you're discharging one round each time you pull the trigger.
Right.
As long as it's a double-action revolver. Yes, technically, but usually when we say a semi-auto handgun,
you're thinking more magazine we're talking fed about as opposed to
magazine fed, right? Slide operating as opposed to a fixed or you know a cylinder. That's a matter of preference, right? If you like a revolver, get a revolver. But my point is that the pistol and handgun and you know, all of that is kind of bottom tier as far as I'm concerned, because usually you're getting a lot more out of any other firearm than you are a handgun. The big reason I think everybody wants to jump into a handgun is for self-defense. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that a handgun does better than any other class of firearm is hide.
I was just gonna say is hide, is be hidden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Concealed.
That's it. You can carry it concealed. It can, you know, it can get tucked into a fairly small space in the house. It's easily maneuvered.
Yeah.
Through the house. That was one that Mike Wolf and I argue, mm-hmm. have argued for years and probably will continue to argue as long as we're talking about firearms. He's pointed out that it's much easier to hold the gun with one hand, still have it fully functional and operational while doing things with your offhand, like opening doors or moving another person out of the way, those kinds of things. My argument is with a semi-auto rifle, it's not that different. You know, we'll make it weird. So in states where they're allowed, where you can have something like an AR pistol or an other firearm that's not a rifle, mm-hmm. but is essentially the same operating system and components as an AR-15, just in a shorter, more maneuverable package or however you want to look at that, without being necessarily a NFA registered short barreled rifle. I think you cross over into that handgun territory of easy maneuverability and being able to do a lot with it, even while you're breaking your secondary grip. So yeah, and if you've got a rifle that's sized well for you, it's not that hard to maneuver that thing either.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, personally speaking, when I was making my shopping list, shotgun was on the bottom, because from a home defense standpoint, I lean more toward the handgun than the larger rifle because of cutting corners and, you know, like you said, maneuverability. If I can say it right, if I say it slow.
It's the reality of it is any of that maneuverability is a skill that you have to learn either way.
True.
Whether you're doing it with a handgun or you're doing it with a long gun, it's something that has to be practiced and done over and over, and you really have to get comfortable with it. And then once you do that, well, let's back up a step. In the process of learning to do that, you're probably going to bang either one of those guns off of everything in the room. Right? Because you're trying to turn a corner, you're trying to slide, you're trying to slice the pie going through a doorway, you're trying to peek, any of those things. You're going to screw up your distances between yourself and your barricade or yourself and your cover, whatever. It's just, you're going to do those things initially. So whether it's a handgun or a rifle, you still have to go through that learning process.
That's true. And you'll build the appropriate skills with the appropriate firearm you're using anyway, because you're going to be practicing, you're going to be assessing your home, maybe even moving a piece of furniture down this further way because, okay, I ran a couple of drills and I realized no matter what firearm I'm holding, my little stool here keeps getting kicked with my left foot, so let me just rearrange the house. Yeah, so if I
make it a point every night to put my seat at the kitchen table pushed into the table, because I know if I have to move through the house at night, I'm going to slam my left foot into that chair.
Here's what I do.
May have done it this morning.
There's a small rug at the bottom of my stairs. Every night when I go to bed, I move that rug away from the stairs, because if I come barreling down the stairs like a bull in a china shop, that slick bottom mat and I are not going to be friends, because I'm crashing right into the wall as soon as the 1 foot off the steps meets it. And that's not going to be good. I'll just say it like that. I'll be outside, crash right through the door, Kool-Aid Man style, all because of this tiny little rug that's at the bottom of my stairs, which is just like the bane of my existence.
Oh, yeah.
But my wife put it there, so I can't move it. It's the law.
You're not allowed to delete it, right?
No, I just slide it over.
You can move it away.
Mm-mm.
Right.
Mm-mm. It's like putting the toilet seat down. It's like one of those things. Like I do it when nobody's looking, and I get up before everybody else, or I put it back when I come back down the stairs. And nobody notices a thing. Yeah. Tactical rugs coming soon, ladies and gentlemen. Gotta find a sponsor for that. No slip rugs. Because I have hardwood floors, and it's a smooth bottom, so it's literally just a... What is it, Risky Business with Tom Cruise in the underwear? It's one of those. It's one of those. It's been a while since we had a good reference.
You come sliding across the old-time rock and roll, like, here we go.
And nothing but socks and boxers and an attitude.
Ray-Bans and a 9mm 1911.
Yep, there you go. Whatever the hell song I learned it. So that's what happens at the Fallas house, ladies and gentlemen, when it's bedtime.
Rugs, I think, man, there's a soundbite. That's what happens in the Fallas house at night. Rugs get moved.
Ooh.
Believe that's what the kids call a double entendre.
Yes. Okay. So
we could probably do a whole nother episode on things you need to correct in your house.
Yeah, damage assessments.
Tactical engagements.
Yeah. I've got a couple that I've changed. So is there a fourth class on the bagman's list after handguns? Is there something more vile than a handgun?
Let's move everything down. And put belt-fed light machine gun at the very top.
That's what I do. That's at the top of my stairs. That's why I don't want to come sliding down to a car.
That's why you don't have to go sliding down the stairs. You just T&E from the top step.
Now that's a compromise I could live with. That's totally
that rug. That rug marks off the beaten zone you're going to hammer with that light machine gun.
It's there to cover all the fucking bullet holes from the the turret at the top of my
from last night.
Oh, hey now, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, anything else I think is just for entertainment value.
Yeah.
So, you know, unless you're engaging in a specific sport, right? So if you're hunting and you need a bolt action rifle for hunting, fine, totally appropriate. If you're a duck hunter and you've got a specialized semi-auto shotgun for hunting upland birds, fine. If you want to get into long range shooting and you need something specifically for long range, now you've gotten a little further down the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're justifying those kinds of purchases. But as far as the basics and the core concept of this podcast being new to Pew and what the new shooter should be looking at, I think that's a good focus point to start at. So yeah, there's a ton of different things you can do. There's fancy pistols for race gun competitions, and there's three gun stuff that's all tuned up and highly specialized. There's a ton of different contests out there that you can jump into, whether it's something beginner friendly like IDPA or something that's really, really deep in the weeds, like the SAS single action shooting, where
single action shooting.
Oh yeah, yeah. You got to look up SAS. So single action, they're using cowboy revolvers and lever action rifles and dressed in full Western period garb.
They actually shoot from the hip. Okay.
Dude, it's so cool. They're so cool. But like a lot of specialized equipment that, you know, you don't necessarily need as a beginner.
Right.
You don't need to have a cool cowboy hat and full you know, duster and chaps and gun belt and all that stuff in the beginning. You want to do, you know, cover the basics, learn the basics, and then advance from there.
You start with and build your arsenal with, you will absolutely need some ammo. And that's my goofy segue to our sponsor for this episode, which I believe is Ammo Squared.
Well done. Go ahead, run with it.
No, you're supposed to pick it up. It's a relay, okay? It's a relay.
Ammo Squared is an ammunition subscription service. They're actually offering a bunch of new things where they've got a wallet. You can use ACH withdrawals from your bank account, and you can actually send ammo to other people through their system. So it started off as what I would describe primarily as an ammunition subscription service, where you pick your calibers and quantities and types and all those good things. And they go out and shop for it for you and store it for you, and you set up your shipping schedule. But now they're offering a bunch of these other great services with it as well. And Max is going to put a link in the show notes that gets you $20 off your first crate with Ammo Squared, thanks to Black Bag Resources. So that's it for this episode. Be sure to check out the sponsors we mentioned earlier. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us at new2pew@blackbagresources.com. You can check out the website, blackbagresources.com. And if you really want to go deep, you can check out the Black Bag Resources Network and become a part of the community. Thanks for listening.